Some of our people have met you guys at 10, but we have other people that we would really like to go to 10. At 10 is a group of churches that we belong to. It's a network of churches. And this coming year, we're having a conference in Chicago like we did last year. And we'll have really good worship, I know. It'll be amazing worship. And yeah, thank you for very much at home there. But I want them to kind of get to know who you guys are, because I've really gotten to know them very well this weekend. Let me tell you, they work from the morning till night to plan what we're doing through 10. And we're looking forward to our church being a big part of this network. So, as the president, will you share, and then I'll have Maria share a little bit.
Lord, don't say that to a preacher. That's right. Don't say that to a Southern preacher. Good gracious Jesus. I am so blessed to be here, guys. I want to tell you, as I walked in the door today, I just felt the presence of the Lord. I was so thrilled. My name is David Thomas. I do not own Wendy's. I wish I did. I'd give a bigger tithe to y'all if I did. But I am the president of 10. And we have been around how many years? 30 years now. 30 years. And it's a network of churches, and this year we really want to work on that aspect. We are a group of churches that believe certain things. First of all, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that there is no God but the Lord God of heaven, and that He loves all people. And I teach my people to say this. When you say in the Bible, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. I want y'all to say that with me. All means all, and that's all means. So when it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all means all, and that's all means. And when it says that whosoever shall, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that doesn't have a little codicil at the bottom and says, except men who decorate well. It means that all who call upon the name of the Lord, and all means all, and that's all means in the Bible. And so we believe that God loves all people, and it's our responsibility to take that love to every man, woman, and child, and if we get a space shuttle, any alien that the Lord may have us reach out to, we want to go where no man has gone before. We want to share the love of Jesus with everybody. And that's what we are about. And people say, well, why do we have to join stuff? Because my church asked me that. I said, because together we are better than we are apart. God wants to spread His kingdom one person at a time, one group at a time. And as we join together, there are things that we have that y'all may not have. And there are things that you have. And I can tell you what you have that we don't have. I'm a musician. I love to do music. But honey, my people are sludgy at times. And I got in here and I said, whoo, Holy Ghost. Honey, the minute the first chord Demerlin hit, I said, uh-oh, it's running time. I'm excited, baby. When a chubby man like me feels that, when I feel like running, it takes a lot to get me going to feel like running. You know, my idea of a workout is to turn the TV off when the aerobics come on. That, you know, honey, I don't work out. But I just want y'all to know I am so blessed to be here, and I really would love for you to come. We have a conference once a year. Now, that is not what 10 is about. That is the icing on the cake of 10. But a conference that we have once a year, we gather all the churches, all the ministries, all the believers together, and we have people, all kinds of people. I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard of Tony Campolo. We had Tony Campolo a few years ago. We have all kinds of really cool people that come. Now, this year, those people just happen to be some lesser-known cool people, but they're really cool people, and you'll find that out. But we really would love for y'all to come, because it's a whole weekend of food, fellowship, friends, and most of all, Jesus. So we really hope y'all will come to that. And just to give you my testimony real quick so y'all know, I was born in a manger. No, that's another story. No. I was born 55 years ago. I know I don't look like it. It's a lot of oil of LA. But 55 years ago, I was born in a little southern town. Half my family's Catholic, half my family's Baptist. I told them I had one grandmother praying for me to be a priest, one grandmother praying for me to be a preacher. So I was doomed from the time I came out of my mama, I was going to preach. That's all it was to it. That's all I've ever wanted to do. When I was 5 years old, I used to go door to door with the Gideon Bible trying to get all the blue-haired ladies saved, because they were Methodist and I was Baptist and they were going to hell because them Methodists, honey, God knows. And the Episcopalians were worse. God knows. So these poor little ladies, they were too old. They couldn't even sin if they got a good deep breath. They were like, but I knew they needed Jesus. So that's what I did. But I told them, the problem was, about the same time when I was five, I started noticing things. I'd get these warm feelings when I was at the swimming pool and I'd see the lifeguards. I'd say, ooh. And I distinctly remember being 8 years old and being in Sunday school and standing beside my Sunday school teacher and going, ooh, he smells good. And that didn't make any sense at all, because boys aren't supposed to think that way about guys. And as I got older, I started saying, what's wrong with me? And by the time I was a teenager, I was I was suicidal. People used to think, boy, that child's holy. Because I literally would come home from school and read my Bible, and I would lay on the floor and weep and say, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. And I went through that, and the worst part was I fell in love with my best friend, who was as straight as a yardstick. And that really didn't work. And so I was so in love, and I just said, I'm going to go to hell. And I didn't even worry about the go to hell. I worried about, how can I break the heart of Jesus? Because they kept telling me, you're breaking God's heart. If you're a homosexual, you're breaking God's heart. So long story short, I ended up in college. I didn't tell you all this. I ended up in college. And in the middle of the night, one night, I climbed up on the top of our dormitory about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I looked over the edge, and I said, I'm just going to kill myself because I can't put God through this anymore. And if you know this, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the wind blows all the time. I was telling Bert used to live in Tulsa, it's like living in a hairdryer. It's 108 degrees and a 30-mile-an-hour wind. It's terrible, but I'm standing on the edge of there, and I was getting ready to jump off, and all of a sudden the wind blew. Now, who knows if it was the Holy Ghost or if it was just the wind, but I know in my heart the Lord said, don't jump. And I said, I just can't do this anymore. And he said, if you jump, you ain't going to die. I ain't going to let you die. You're going to live. You're going to be crippled, but you're going to live because I have chosen you from your mother's womb, and you have been called. Well, so I climbed back down and went back in my room and spent another few years having the prettiest dorm room on campus, but suffering. And then one day this man came to our church and he laid hands on me and he prayed in tongues over me and began to prophesy. And I've still got it written down, and I thought it meant something totally different. Then it said, you have many wounds from your childhood because of who you are. But I'm going to heal those wounds, and I'm going to take you to the people like you, and you're going to bring them freedom and deliverance. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get married, and we're going to have the Walton family. We're going to have tons of children. Thank you, Jesus. And I was so excited, and then that didn't work. I came out, and by God's grace, he sent me all these people to help me get adjusted to who I really was. And one day, as a pastor, I opened up one of my old Bibles, and there was that prophecy. And I said, God, was that a fake prophecy? He said, no, David, you just didn't have enough sense to interpret it right. Let me explain this to you. I healed those wounds so you could take this message of grace to all the other people that were hurt like you growing up, who I had made beautiful and special and unique. And he said, you're called to go to the nations and bring people to me. You know, and people come to me and say, you really think gay people are going to heaven? And I said, honey, there's a rainbow around the throne. And I was like, listen, it says there's going to be mansions in heaven. Who is going to decorate those if we don't go up there? Please, please. So I just want to share with y'all today, God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you, and nothing shall by any means separate you from the love which is in Christ Jesus. You say, but I'm not worthy. Well, heck, everybody knows that. Every one of your exes will tell you that. But the thing is, the Lord Jesus loves you with a different kind of love. He has a love that has no, well, here's the clause at the bottom. He just signed his name in love, in blood, at the bottom and said, I am for you, not against you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and you can't do anything to make you stop loving me. Amen. I love you just because I love you. And so receive that love, and I will bring great healing into your life. Amen? Amen. Here you go, Maria.
Hey, it is really, really great to be here. It's funny, he says I scared him. He scared me, so we're mutually scared of one, or we're scared of one another. I'm from Brooklyn, if you can't tell. I'm Maria Caruana. That sounds like marijuana, if you have an issue with that, or if you can't pronounce it, just remember that. You'll never forget it. I was raised a Catholic in an Italian family. And if you're an Italian and if you're a Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, you get raised up, you get baptized, you have your first communion, you have your confirmation. And if you're raised in a good Catholic home, you go to church every Sunday. My home was not the greatest Catholic home, so we didn't go to church every Sunday. Or my mom didn't, my dad didn't, but we did. And I kept going to church wanting to know God. I was like, I want to know God. Why does God say this? And they're like, it's a mystery, my child. Why is God doing this? It's a mystery, my child. And then I kind of thought, they don't know. They have no clue why God's doing these things, you know? So I was like, I felt like God just kept drawing me in, but I could not find the answers I needed at the Catholic Church. And my life was not the greatest childhood. I had a father who was very verbally abusive, and it wasn't pretty. And so I thought, you know, if there's really a God, are you asleep? Do you not hear? I don't really believe you're really there. So I became an atheist, and I just lost all faith in God. And I was like, there is no God. He's not real. And so I did what many people do to get over things that hurt you and bother you, rather than going to counseling and get some help, I've turned to drugs and alcohol. And I was a functioning alcoholic. I did not drink during the day, but I drank myself silly in the evenings. I smoked, as David would say, acres of marijuana, and just was a big pothead and big drunk, but like I said, functioning, went to work, did all this. And my mother, whom I loved so dearly, was going to a charismatic Catholic service. Now, back in the 70s, there was a wave of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit hit the Catholic Church. And honey, people were getting saved and getting the Holy Ghost and getting filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and all that stuff in the Catholic Church. And so my mother got saved. And my mother, I lived in Phoenix then. My mother lived in Brooklyn. My mother would call me. We'd talk. Maria, say this prayer, sinner's prayer. I'd say the prayer because I love my mother. I'd say, but Mom, if I don't believe this, say the prayer, Maria. And so I'd say the prayer. I'd say the prayer almost every week, okay? And I'd say the prayer, say the prayer, say the prayer. And then one day my mother calls me up. Now, my mom, my brother, all of us in the family smoked, and we smoked like chimneys, 3 packs of cigarettes a day. My mom calls me up. She got cancer of the throat. And she said, I have cancer of the throat. It's pretty bad. They're going to do some radiation to try to shrink this cancer. And then they're going to have to remove my vocal cords. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I said, well, here's your God. Here's your God. This God gave you cancer. No, 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 Maria. I said, well, I'll tell you what. If there's really a God, he'll take this cancer from you. And so 10 weeks later to today, my mother calls me. Maria, the cancer's gone. And I'm like, do not play with me. She's like, Maria, they cannot find the cancer. And I said, well, maybe you are real. From that point on, I was still in the bars, drinking, carrying on. And all of a sudden, God kept bringing these Christians around me, people I worked with that I had no idea were saved. All of a sudden, were talking to me about Jesus, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're coming out of the wood. They're like cockroaches coming out of the woodwork, right? Jesus, and I'm like, really? As they're drinking a beer and doing a shot of tequila, Jesus loves you. And I'm like, I'm sure he does, you know? And so I am an x-ray tech by trade, and I worked in an orthopedic doctor's office. And Ruth West and Stacy Gagel, well, didn't walk in. She came in on crutches. Ruth did. She had been playing softball, your typical lesbian sport, playing softball. Woo-hoo! Softball players in the back. Yeah. Playing softball, blew out her knee. Had to have a total reconstruction of her knee. She would be off work for a year because she was also a forklift driver. So she couldn't go back to work, right? Oh, she was gay, right? Yeah, she didn't think I knew she was gay. So she comes in, doctor tells her all this, and usually when the doctor does that, people just, they blank out, and then when the doctor leaves the room, they cry, and I repeat everything and tell them it's going to be all right. So he left the room, and we're talking, and she's cool as a cucumber, and I'm like, did you hear what he said? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, well, you've taken this very well. I know Jesus. And I'm like, oh, no, here we go again. But Ruth had something that was different that I wanted. And what she had was Jesus. And she just, the love of Jesus just shined through her. And I was like, there's something different about you. It's Jesus. I'm like, whatever. So she had Casa de Cristo, which was one of the first independent LGBT-affirming churches that were Christ-centered in Phoenix, Arizona, praying for my salvation for 2 years. I was a hard nut to crack. 2 years of them praying over, and every Sunday, we need to pray for Maria, my friend, in the doctor's office. I know God's going to save her. I know God's going to save her. So one night, I'm sitting on my living room floor with a joint rolled up, ready to smoke, because that's what I did. And I said, you know, I really want to believe that you died for my sins. I really want to believe that you love me that much. And I really want to believe that you did that just for me. And that you want me, you want to be in relationship with me. You want to save me. You want to heal me. You want to be my God, and you want me to be your kid. And I heard a voice. He said, I do. I said, then I want you to be my savior. And instantly, I was delivered from alcohol and from pot. I never went back to it again. Never wanted, never desired it. The next day I go to church, and I got to tell you, the next day I go to church, and I found Ruth, and I'm like, Ruth, I'm saved. And she's like, you saved? Sat me down. She went through the scriptures. So then I got the seal of approval from Ruth, who then took me to Fred, the pastor of the church. Fred Patterson was the pastor of Casa de Cristo, who was the founder of 10. And he said, and she said, Maria saved, and he sat me down, took me through all this. I'm like, do I have to go through this with everybody? The church was big. It was about 100. Everybody. He said, no, once I'm done, you're done. And so then, of course, he announced it. And from there, the call of God was on my life. A couple of years later, God called me to pastor, and he's brought me. And I'm just thankful. You know, I preached a message just a couple of weeks ago at Cornerstone Church, Pastor Carla and in the church, and I preached the message, but God. You know, where is that? In Ephesians 2, when it talked about how we were the wrath of God and we were in transgression and we were in sin, and it says, but God. But God in his mercy and his grace. But God because of his love. But God because he created us. It was no secret to God that you were LGBTQ, whatever. No secret to God. None whatsoever. It might have been a secret to you. I didn't come out. You know, I never had to struggle with my Christianity and my sexuality. Because just after I got saved, I realized, I mean, I should have known from this high when I was watching Tina Turner and going, oh, Mom, look at her, you know? But I digress. but God in his mercy and grace and his love All he wants to do is lavish, the scripture says, is pour out his love and his grace and his blessing on us. And all he wants you to do is open your arms wide to receive it. The but God started for me when I got saved. The but God has continued for me throughout my life. I have but God moments, and you all have but God moments all your lives. But God. So quit fighting God. And just let him love on you and let him lavish his love on you. Love him back. If there's no one else you trust, you can trust him with everything. Amen. I thank God for all of you. I praise God for your pastor. I did. I met Keith a long time ago, and truly I thought, well, he's Pentecostal. He won't like, I don't speak in tongues, you know. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I just don't speak in tongues. That's a long story. I'll tell you about it later. But, you know, and I thought he's going to think like most people think, oh, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost because you don't speak in blah, blah, blah. But I met Keith through Angela and Jen, really. And I praise God for Angela and Jen. I praise God for your pastor. I praise God for all of you. God's going to do some mighty, mighty, mighty things. And that scripture goes on today to say that he prepared good works for you, not just him, not just the pastors of the church, and not just the leaders, but for each of you to do. This is a big community out here. Not just the LGBT community, but everybody in Atlanta needs to know that Jesus loves them. You got a big job, but you can handle it. You got Jesus to do. Amen? So I'm looking forward to good reports and exciting news. And I'll be here when you open up your new church. And that's very exciting. I look forward to seeing a new place. Thank you for having us. Pray for us. Pray for 10. We promise to pray for you. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Awesome.
And that's awesome. Aren't they wonderful? They're amazing people. And they have flights to catch. We're going to actually close because I do want to get you guys out of here. But I want you to meet them. Okay, would you guys stand up for a second? We're going to close. Make sure you introduce yourself to them. Make sure you meet them because they're just blessings. Father, I thank you for this family. It's family here. We thank you that we represent the East Coast, the West Coast, the North, the South, God, and you have created a family. God, I pray for their flights as they travel, that you just give them traveling mercies and blessings. Lord, and I pray for refreshing as they go back. This whole week has been a lot of intensive work, that they're refreshed as they start their new week. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.